I like the theme of today, you know, about God's grace, because I can remember growing up in a wonderful home, and then later on in life, how my life got really dark. And I never thought that God's grace could ever get me through, but it's because of men and women of faith that showed me that grace is much bigger than the darkness in this world, and I praise God for that. So I pray that everybody here today listens to the sermon and the songs, the words in the song, because there's nothing more important than the grace of God. There's nothing we can do to earn forgiveness or love. Grace. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful day, Lord, and we thank you for our brother Malcolm. We ask, Father God, that your Holy Spirit would anoint each word that's from this mouth today. Lord God, that it would just touch our hearts, that it would teach us and instruct us the things that we need to know for this very moment, Lord God, that you would help us to get through those dark times. And Lord Jesus, that you would bring us through those times and that we would look back and see how you carried us. And Lord, that your grace is sufficient for each need here in this building, Lord, for our loved ones. Lord, we ask for your Holy Spirit right now, Father God, to teach us and give us ears to hear and a heart to receive, Lord God, what you have for us today. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
If you would open up your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5, we're going to start there. Galatians chapter 5. Now, last week, the message was about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Another way of saying that is filling up of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We all received the Spirit of God when we became Christians. And then there's something more that can happen besides the Lord indwelling. It's kind of like we have potential because we have the Spirit of God in us, a potential to do mighty things for the Lord. It's another thing than to do them. Right. You get that?
Yes. Right.
Because yeah. I think all of us would probably look at our lives and say, I fall short sometimes. So the potential is always there because the Holy Spirit dwells in us. It's this thing of moving in that power, which is the grace of the Holy Spirit. Grace is not only unmerited favor, it is divine ability. God gives us ability where we don't have it. Right?
Yeah.
And the word ability, able, means that you have the power to do something. You have the energy to do it. You have the wisdom to do something. You have the strength to do something. You are given something from God. It's called grace. Another word for grace that I like to use is power. Okay? And, you know, the songs... The songs that were just so beautiful go right along with what the message is about. So, really, the church, we all have the Spirit of God within us because we're born again. But in terms of moving in the power of God, and that power, I'm not talking about these phantasmagoric miracle things going on, just that splash and just are out there for all to see. I'm talking about in a humble and contrite way, in a way that's crying out because of we see our need, and God giving us the ability to turn from things we don't have the power to turn from. How about that? Just that is an amazing thing. People, when they think of the power of God and the grace of God, lots of times we think of something so grand, and yet it's the deep hidden things. It's the hidden things of the heart where God changes your heart. What a powerful grace that comes when God changes your mind about things. Changes your heart about things. Amen. And the miracles come too. And the healings. You talk about change. The healing that can happen. You know. By the laying on of hands. By a humble heart that comes near to God. And God draws near to them. And changes take place. Grace always wins. Isn't that fantastic?
Yes.
We're victorious. But we don't always feel that way. We don't always, by the way we look at circumstances, feel or trust that God is there and that we are standing on good solid ground. Sometimes we don't feel like that, do we? Now, I want to talk about something I mentioned last week, and then that leads into this week. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, I think I ended with that. I'm going to start with that today. It says this: if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, I want to say that the grace of God is something that can come sovereignly to you. You don't deserve it. There's nothing of you that's involved in it. All of a sudden, you feel the grace and the power of God, and you move. Right? It's sovereign. It's sovereign. It comes. This particular verse says, if we live in the Spirit, if we have the Spirit of God in us, we live there. Right? Because the Spirit lives in us. I in Him and Him in me, right? Where we live in the Spirit in that regard. If we live in the Spirit, if we have this potential for the Spirit of God to give us ability, the Scripture says, if we live in it, let's walk in it. So that there is sometimes a decision that you make to walk in the Spirit of God. And if you're walking, you and I are walking in the Spirit, we are walking in His power. Aren't we? We're not just living in the Spirit where the Spirit is in us, but we are moving, being led, and being empowered by the Spirit of God. Amen? Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. So, we're going to look at this a little bit more about this walking in the Spirit. I guess we can say that walking in the Spirit is cooperating with the Spirit of God. We're actually cooperating. He doesn't come out of the woods like a baseball out of right field, or wherever that phrase is, and hits us in the back of the head. Oh, there's the Spirit.
A bolt from the blue.
You know, sometimes He does do that. He does. But there's other times where God is really looking for, because He loves us and He wants us to love Him, He wants us to make some choices in His direction, doesn't He? I think it's a sad commentary for the church, because across America, especially, there doesn't seem to be the power that's changing in inward lives the way it needs to. It's all, there's lots of show. There's lots of Christian macho leaders that are showing how great they are, but there isn't a lot of real Holy Spirit power that's coming, that the words and the presence of the Spirit amongst the congregation actually are changing people's lives, breaking down those hard places. And we need that, yes. Don't we?
Yes.
That's where the real power is going to be. That's what the world needs, is a group of people that have that mean what they say when they lift their hands to God in worship. That we mean this. Now I want to go through some things about walking in the Spirit. And it's funny where the Lord took me. We're only going to look at one aspect of walking in the Spirit. There's kind of like four sub parts to this. So I want us to go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. It is not coincidence. It is not coincidence that we sing the songs that we do. We don't coordinate here. We don't sit there and try to piece together some, to make everything fit just perfectly. When I'm bringing a message, I don't talk to the worship team. And there have been times where innocently, I go to people on the worship team, usually Crystal, and I say, what are the songs you got? She goes, I'm not telling you. And she does that for a reason, and I go, oh yeah, that's right, okay. So sometimes I'm just curious to know what it is ahead of time, but I really get blessed when I come in here. I have no idea what the songs are going to be, and then the songs go with the message. And this happens all the time with songs that the kids have, or Reggie comes up with, and like this Grace Wins. My goodness. So let's delve into this here, because this is a message from God to you through this weak vessel. Okay? But don't look at the vessel. Remember where this is coming from. You open your spirit and say, if this is from you, God, I want to hear it. You have already gotten some confirmation to what you're going to hear. So there's confirmation here. Alright, so this is where it says, chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, starting in verse 1. Therefore, thou therefore, my son, be strong in what?
Grace.
Oh, there's that word grace. Isn't that funny how this is? You know, be strong. That doesn't say wait and maybe luckily God will grace you. No, it's a command, isn't it?
Yes.
Be strong in the grace. It isn't something that you're just hoping for. You and I can make a determination that we're going to go in a particular direction in the Lord. You know that? You know that you can choose whether you're going to be strong in the Lord to face a situation or not. Lots of times situations happen to us and we get swept by the tide of it before we even think to choose the Lord and stand in His strength and His love and His wisdom and everything else. Doesn't that happen to us all the time? But the Lord's saying here to be strong in His grace. In other words, okay, pick yourself up, grab a hold of the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. We can do that.
Yes.
Can't we?
Yes. By His grace. By His grace. Yeah, because it's His enablement. This is hard to see. The choice is ours, but it isn't by our strength, is it? We're making choices, but the power to be able to perform is going to come by His Spirit, isn't it?
So it says here, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard of me, of many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And then verse 3 says, you therefore endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I want to say that one of the aspects of walking with God, not just living in the Spirit, but actually walking with God, like Enoch, right? Mm-hmm. The big testimony about Enoch was he walked with God. You think that was different than what's happening with you and me? Depends on the degree of his walk and our walk. But it's the same. I'll tell you what, though. I'll tell you, yeah, you got to take it up, right? But I'll tell you why. We're getting raptured at some point in time, aren't we? And he had to. My point is that we're all at different levels and
all of that.
I'm sure his walk was a lot stronger than mine. But he made choices for that walk with God.
Yes.
To walk with God is a choice.
Right?
Yes. Yeah.
And we have the same ability to choose. Don't we? Mm-hmm. And we'll get our power from the Lord Himself.
That's like Mary when the angel appeared to her.
Yeah.
She said, let it be.
Let it be.
Yeah. She gave up.
She chose.
She could have let it give up. I mean, lots of lots.
Yeah. He made a choice. And then it goes on here. So there's an aspect about being a soldier that to me, is brought out here in this. If we're going to be strong in His grace, we're going to move in His power, which is being baptized in the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, being empowered by the Spirit. That's what that's about, right? You've got to be a soldier. This is what it says. No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. And if any man strive for mastery, he is not crowned except that he strive by the rules. Lawfully, I think it says in most translations, right? According to the rules. Yeah. So, there's rules. There's actual rules. Isn't that funny? We're not talking about legalism here. We're talking about understanding that there's a way that we approach walking with God. There has to be. We'd all go all these different ways and we'd be off all over the place. God has a particular way.
I like the word guidance for that. He's guiding us. If we follow those guidance rules, then that's what we're supposed to do.
Yes. All right, so here we go. We're gonna look at some of what these rules are. These are rules that aren't quite the same kind of thing that we think of when we think of rules. Do this, don't do that. Do this, don't do that, right? This isn't what we're talking about. We're talking about attitude, and attitude of heart. So let's look at what this would mean. All right, so 1 Timothy chapter 6. So you go back a page in most Bibles. purpose of a soldier?
To defend.
Fight.
That was the word I was looking for. Fight. Soldiers are there to fight, aren't they? And there's an aspect in the Christian world where we don't do a lot of fighting. Well, we do. It's the wrong kind of fight. But fighting by walking in the Spirit, that's not done as much as it really could be or should be. We should be fighters. There should be something inside of us that is so committed, so determined to know God, to be obedient to God, to do what He tells us to do. And I think in a lot of places, we're very casual.
How's that sound? Hebrews, did I read it yet? No. Okay. 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. It says, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Faith. What's another word for faith?
Trust.
When you think of faith, what do you think of?
Trust.
You know, I would say this is probably the first rule about walking with God. You and I have to trust Him. I'll tell you why. He doesn't do things the way I want Him to all the time. What about you? Does He do everything that you ask Him to do? No, sometimes He does. That's really nice. When things go our way. And when that happens, when things are going, when we pray and we get what we want, or we have a particular way we hope things work out, and it works out that way, we're all well and good. Everything's just hunky-dory. We've got to trust Him no matter what, don't we?
Yeah.
And that means we have faith in Him that He who has started a good work in us is going to finish it, right? But we entrust ourselves to a faithful Creator to do what is right.
Yes.
And I'll tell you what, sometimes the things that happen in our life, it really tests that faith. Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah? So I'd say number one, in terms of walking with God, one of these rules or guidelines is, first one, you got to trust God. We have to trust Him, whether it goes our way or it doesn't go our way. Right?
And you notice there, it's a fight. Fight the good fight of faith. There's one place where you fight. As a soldier of Christ, you fight for that good fight of faith. Don't you and I do that? Don't you feel sometimes you have to, you really have to cry out to God, God, I want to trust you here. What is going on in this particular situation? I don't understand this. This doesn't make any sense to me. But you know where we have to fall back? Number one, we have to fall back on trusting our God. You have to trust. And I can say to you that I am not, I haven't arrived at that place yet. I find myself asking God all kinds of questions. Yeah? Good, I'm glad I'm not the only one. Yeah, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says that without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Hebrews 11, 6. And it goes on in that verse. Do we have that up? No. It goes on. I didn't put that on the list, I guess.
Can I read it?
Yeah, go ahead. Just read the
list. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him.
Yeah. He rewards.
He rewards us when you know, that trusting God helps us, but He really loves that. He loves it when we're trusting Him. When we work ourselves through something. Maybe not with the perfect first time response, but that we actually get there at some point and say, God, I trust you. I'm fighting you here. My mind is all messed up. I probably said things I shouldn't have said, but God, I turn to you and I give this to you. He loves that. And He rewards us with His presence. He rewards us with empowerment. Doesn't He? I think He does.
That's what I've found. I'm going to go back to Timothy for a minute, it's in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy.
Just talking about rewarding. 2 Timothy 4 verses 7 and 8 say this: I have fought a good fight. He's a soldier of Christ. You and I are soldiers of Christ. We're enlisted. As soon as you accepted Christ, you're a soldier. Like it or not. Somebody ever said, you know, somebody said to me, you ever been in the service? Yeah, but not the U.S. I'm in Christ's army. I'm a soldier of Christ. Right? So are you. We're soldiers in His army. We need to be that kind of person that has a grit inside of us, determined that we are going to follow our Lord. Amen?
And it says here, and it is a fight, and it says here, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And then it says in verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but to all of them that love His appearing. What was the first song we sang? Jesus is coming? The one before the worship team got up.
Jesus is coming soon.
Jesus is coming soon. And there's this whole thing of, you know, I hope that all of us here are loving His appearing, that are looking forward to His coming. You know? There's a crown of righteousness for you. Is that what that just said? He's going to give me a crown of righteousness, and not only to me, but to all them that love His appearing. Wow. I think all of you agree with me. I can't wait for the Lord to get here. I can't wait for Him to come and take us. Don't you? Is there something about this world that you would put Jesus off? I would hope not. Now, maybe you do. Maybe there is. You work that out with the Lord. But I hope that you see that there's a better life after He gets here. I hope you can see that anyway. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're just going through some scriptures here that deal with this whole concept of competition, of fighting, and lots of times Christians don't really talk about this, but I think it's important for us to look at. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 25 to 27. So, number one is faith, okay? In terms of rules that we need to go by in order to walk with God, one of them is faith. All right, here's another one that is very, very important And to the degree that we move into this is again a degree of how far we actually do go in our walk with God. This is what it says. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 25. And every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. Reward, right? All those that we have to believe that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We've got to know, hey, there's some good things coming to me. And it says, therefore, I so run, not in an uncertain way. I so fight, not as one that beats the air. Oh, they're fighting? Here's this whole concept of soldiering again. There's a soldier's crown for this. But I keep, well, I don't like the way the King James says this. Does somebody have a different version than King James and read? Oh, yeah, this one is. Let me see where it's. Yeah, that's good. Instead, I discipline my body and bring it under strict control so that after preaching to others, I myself will not be disqualified. Now, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I think this is a very important concept. There are degrees of walking with God. I think we talked about that with Enoch and, you know, all of us. We're in different places, different levels of walking with the Lord. You know, this thing about bodily discipline. Yeah. Being disciplined. Bodily. Checking yourself in your mind, in all of your bodily members, how you act, what you think. There's a strict discipline. And the more that you become a person of a strict disciplining of yourself, the closer you're going to find that you are walking with God. We want this grand walk with God, this grand closeness with God, but still keep on living the way we live. And I'm telling you, that's not going to happen. One of the rules for a closer walk with God, you're saved, you're going to heaven, but if you want a closer walk with God, you're going to draw near to Him, and then He draws near to you, right? You have to, the more that you say, God, I can't stand that there's this thing in me that takes me down the wrong path. And I keep falling there. Please, God, empower me to be disciplined in that area of my life. And over a period of time, you start to move, you start to discipline yourself, and then you slide away from it, and you get right back into your thought pattern or reaction pattern that you had before that isn't so great. And then you catch yourself, and you say, oh my gosh, God, I've done it again. God, help me, and heal, and this will happen over and over again. And there seems to be longer periods of time that in between where you're actually walking in the power of the Spirit about that. Is that right? I'm not the only one that's experienced this that way. This is important for us. And I want to tell you that I have found that when I am really listening carefully and being obedient to the Spirit and bringing my body, my mind into subjection to Christ, I am walking closer with Christ. Don't you find, I mean, isn't that kind of logical?
Yeah.
Isn't that obvious?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And lots of us go bouncing through the rest of the week without making that something that we make as a priority in our life.
I want my mind under the subjection of the Spirit of God. Yeah. That's a rule, I think. I think that's one of the rules to walking with God. We have to be faithful to Him. We have to trust Him no matter what's going on in our lives. And you know what? We have to have a determination. We're not going to be perfect, but we're going to have a determination in our heart and our mind that we are going to bring our body into subjection, just like what Paul says. That's got to be there. It's got to be an attitude of heart. I know I'm not perfect. I'm gonna stumble and fall. But God, every time that I fall, I want you to pick me up and set me on the right course again. And He will. By His grace. Grace always wins. Right?
We have the ability. Look what it says here. I want you to... I want to make sure I get this right. Did I not write that down? Oh, we're in 1 Corinthians 9?
Yeah,
okay. So just look in the next chapter, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13.
Just in case you feel like you have an excuse about this sin is too much for me. Look what it says here. There is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not tolerate you to be tempted above what you're able. Anything that you go through and you're being tempted, you go, I can't. I'm too weak. I'm just giving into this.
Right.
That is your choice.
Right.
Because God says, the Word of God says, I mean, I like to fight against that. Because I like to have an excuse. I mean, wouldn't all of us? Oh, this is too hard for me. But this tells me that God doesn't allow something to come on us that we're not able to, by His Spirit, to be able to conquer. His grace always wins. And if we avail ourselves to that grace, we will win. We're all singing and energized by that song, Grace Always Wins. We like to hear the word victory. We like to hear about winning. But you know what? It's a fight.
It's a fight.
It's a fight. It's a battle.
Malcolm.
Yeah.
Is that why in the Lord's Prayer it says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from sin? Because He doesn't lead us into temptation.
No. He doesn't lead us into temptation.
Yeah,
and that whole concept is that He doesn't allow us into anything that we can't handle. Something happens in the spirit and things don't go. He won't allow us to go into a place that we're not ready to be stretched and give to God. It's the way it is.
Okay. I'm going to go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2 right now, because there's that one verse that is that's there. That is another one of the things that is important. I think is kind of like a rule for us, a guideline for us. It says this in it's 2 Timothy 2:4. No man that wars. Okay, we're being a soldier here, right? We're walking with God here. No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier.
I think we all get this one. We get nailed on this one, don't we? Getting entangled in what's going on in the affairs of this life.
You know what? I'll tell you. There's a scripture in Colossians, I think it's Colossians 3:1. I didn't write it down on that list, Elaine, but Colossians 3:1, where it says, set your affections, which also means focus your mind, on things above and not of things of the earth. That is so hard for us to grab a hold of. Because we do have to attend to things in this life. But our affections shouldn't be here. And if they are, we need to say, God,
I want my affections to be set on things above. I want to store up treasure in heaven, right? Where your heart is, you know, where your
treasure is,
that's where your heart is, right? Your heart will be also.
So, that's the one thing. All right, and the very last one. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be filled with the Spirit, right? The power of his might. Be being filled with the Spirit. And you know what? Every single person that's in this room can have that. And not just once in a while. We can be those who determine to walk in the Spirit. Not just live in the Spirit, but to walk in the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit. You can do that. Unless you're expecting that to do that, you have to speak in tongues all the time. Which you don't. To move in, to be baptized, to be filled with the Spirit. Sometimes that's what happens. But lots of times it doesn't. There's a power, there's a strength that comes when you make a determination that you're going to walk in the Spirit of God, that you're going to discipline your body, that you're going to trust God with all of your heart, that you're not going to allow the things of this world to entangle your thoughts and distract you from the very thing that God has for you. You know, I'm going to say this about Reggie, because what happened today is really a prime example to me of not getting entangled like that and setting your affections above. You know, he had that song, right?
Let me go through the. I mean, because you don't even know this.
I don't know.
So this past week, that song's been on my heart.
Yeah.
I heard it and I got the CD and it's been on my heart. So, anyways, typically when the kids have a song, they play a song. And then if somebody else had a song, or if myself had a song, I'd play it right after. But the Spirit told me not to play that song right after. It told me to play it after the worship, which is what I went and told Joe during worship. They said, right after worship, we need to play this song. Then all that other stuff transpires. And in my head, I'm saying, wow, this is crazy. Not knowing that also, if I would have said, let's wait till the end of the service to play the song, then it would be going along with your message. So the spotting of the song in itself was crazy in itself. Because that's not my typical way of doing things usually.
Yeah.
But the Spirit was very clear that after worship, this is when you're going to play that song.
You know, when you setting our affections on things above, it's like focusing your mind. You're invested in the things of God. You invest yourself in listening to songs of worship. You invest yourself into reading your Bible. You invest yourself into hearing what the voice of God is and then being obedient to it. And then some of these things are just spillovers to your investment. You know that? It's so true.
I really see this with so many of us, is that doing all of these different things produces this wonderful display of the Spirit of God here. It's not showy. It's not looking to bring any kind of attention. We're just trying to hear and obey. And it's all in these little things. You know, the timing of that, like you said, Rich, the timing of where that is. He heard and he obeyed.
Mind-boggling.
It's mind-boggling.
This is
the power. This is the power of God at work. This is being filled with His presence. This is getting our attention on the things that are above. That's what's important.
It's just where each member is fitting into the body of Christ.
Yes. Yes.
That's the flow of God.
That is the flow of God. And how many times have we talked about that very thing, that it's so important for us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, because the body is edified, it's built up, in other words. The body is edified as every joint supplies. Well, if the way that it services is engineered is only set for just one person to talk and one or two or four or five people to sing, how does that do anything? We have to be open to hear and obey. Do the things, you know. Crystal was obedient, what she heard, to have people come forward at the time of worship. She didn't say to herself, maybe it did, but she passed it off. Well, this isn't the right time to do this. I didn't get permission to do this. You see what I'm saying? That happens in lots of churches. You know? And when these kinds of things happen, you want to be obedient. Because that's when God really moves. How many of you were blessed by coming up and, you know, being touched?
I was blessed
by the Spirit.
Noah recognized when there was a call up. He came to me and said, I can do the song so you can go up front with people.
Cool.
That's huge.
That is huge.
A young kid who is aware. I mean, most kids would be oblivious to that type of thing, right? I mean, but he understands. He had something in him saying,
yep,
you need to go back there and take care of that song.
That's the Spirit of God.
His hug to Lady was so...
He has grown so much.
Yeah.
It's a blessing to see how much he's grown.
I didn't see that. He hugged you after you prayed over the kids? That's great. Fantastic. All right, let's look. Ephesians, we're going to wrap this up. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 12. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Okay? Is that being filled with the Spirit?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. You can't be strong in the Lord and the power of His might if you're walking around in your own thoughts and your own ways of thinking about what's of God and what isn't. Oh no, you've got to be led by the Spirit of God. You've got to be filled with the Spirit of God. You have to, in other words, walk in the Spirit. We all live in the Spirit. Let's walk in the Spirit. And then it says this. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. In order to walk in the Spirit, we have to be aware that there's an enemy that's going to try to steal that from you. Not only can the world distract, but the enemy has schemes to keep you from going further in Christ. To keep you obeyed in Christ. To keep you focused on yourself and the poor, bad things that are happening in your life. And keep your focus on yourself rather than on Jesus, where grace always wins. Where He wears the victor's crown. We should be reminded of those things, shouldn't we? But the enemy has all kinds of schemes. To pull us off into temptations, to do all kinds of different things, to make us feel bad about ourselves, about our situation, about family, about work, whatever. Verse 12. For we war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There is a demonic warfare going on.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it's on an individual basis. If you can't, if you don't know that the enemy is looking, is moving to and fro, looking for who he can devour, because it's too scary for you, then you're a prime candidate of his teeth. You know that. We have to be aware of the enemy. We have to know who the enemy is. We have to identify the enemy and know his devices so that we can do something about it.
Right.
It's part of being a soldier.
That's part of being a soldier.
We have to know who the enemy is, too. Sometimes we think it's people.
Yeah.
And it isn't.
No. No, it's spirit. Now, some people identify so closely to that, they've given themselves over so much to that spirit that it's hard to see the difference. But it is a spiritual battle. Our battle isn't against flesh and blood. It's against spiritual forces. And if we try to engage against evil by going after people, we've missed the boat. Do you get this? We need to take authority in the spirit over certain situations and people.
Yes.
When you walk in the spirit, the spirit keeps you aware of what the devil's up to. Mm-hmm. He prepares you and helps you to keep out of his grasp. Mm-hmm.
Yes. You're all aware that there's spiritual forces not over individuals, but there's spiritual forces over nations. You know that. You've been reminded so many times, you know, Prince of Persia, in other words, right? That Daniel came up against, or the angel that was going to Daniel came up against. There are national principalities that control things. Now, I wonder what it is over this country. Because it used to be Spirit of God. But it isn't so anymore. There's all kinds of... Look at the fruit. Look at the fruit of what's going on in our country. And you will see that there is a principality that is really moving on this country and has control over the leadership down through lots of segments of the population. Yeah?
Yes.
It doesn't, and it's not producing godliness, is it? So, one of the things that it says here, and I'm not going to go down through all this, but in verse 18 it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Prayer is a very, very important thing, and when we get into certain levels of situation, we sometimes feel very overwhelmed. We feel like we're not winning. Has that happened to any of you? You don't feel like we're winning? How many of you have prayed for our country? Doesn't seem too good though, does it? But I want us to be encouraged with this last scripture, and it's the book of James, and it's chapter 5, and I'll conclude with this scripture. It's verse 16. It says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man accomplishes what?
Much.
We've got to be encouraged with that. That's what God says, doesn't he? He says, this fervent prayer, this effectual prayer, it has... It can avail to a lot, okay? And we've got to keep that in our mind. So in terms of, let me just review real quick. As far as walking in the Spirit goes, the overall banner of this is being a good soldier in Christ, okay? There's other things that maybe the Lord will lead me to in some other messages. But this good soldier in Christ, we talk about trusting. When people take orders, They've got to trust their commanding officers, don't they? They've got to. They've got to be obedient and they have to trust. We have to have bodily discipline, and the closer you get with hearing God and being obedient and turning yourself from those thoughts that are not obedient to Christ and all the rest of the feelings and emotions and things, we get more and more of those things under control. The closer we are walking with the Lord, aren't we? Not to be ensnared in the affairs of this life, set our affections on things above. And then the last thing about walking by the rules would be understand that we have an enemy, and that where we fight is going to also be in the realm of the spirit, not against people, but in the realm of the spirit. That's where things get broken, in the realm of the spirit. Amen? Amen. So Lord, we do ask you that we walk in the Spirit more and more and more. Help us, Lord. We know that we live in the Spirit. Your Spirit dwells within us. And Lord, we choose to be those who walk in the Spirit with you. That we be good soldiers. Lord, help us in all of these things. That we would draw near to you, knowing that you will draw near to us. We love you, Lord. We desire to be a church that's full of salt, a church, Lord, that's full of light, a church of wisdom and understanding and compassion and power and truth. Lord, help us to be those people that you are looking for, especially here at the end of the age. We love you, dear Jesus. We submit our lives to you. In Jesus' name, our King. Amen.